This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
Flawless Ensemble.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me this week is the epic, the awesome...
Mike the Birdman Dodd, returning from the wild wastes of Northern Ontario, or Southern Ontario, depending on how you want to look at it. That's right, I'm back! Y'all missed me.
Y'all. Yeah, so, it's been a while.
It really has been. Looking at the chat we have here on our lovely Discord server, I don't think I've been on since, like, late last year.
Yeah, late November. Like, almost December.
Holy crap. Yeah, it has been a while. So, I'm glad to be back here on the show.
We asked a Good Life member what they'd say to inspire a new member.
I joined Good Life, and I feel healthy, confident, strong. It changed everything. I lost 40 pounds in 4 months. Go to Good Life. You need it more than you know it.
Good Life Fitness. Change your story.
Join Good Life Fitness now and save $129 on a no-commitment membership. Hurry, offer ends soon. See club for details or visit goodlifefitness.com.
As you guys may know, Twig is back in production. We've been back since about the middle of January, and it has not stopped since we've come back. And yeah, I've been keeping myself pretty busy. Doing my best to keep the podcast machine alive. 12 years as of, I think, the end of January, Twig has been online. So I've had an online presence for a dozen years. So I'm going to be approaching my awkward teenage years next year. So that'll be strange. Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm trying to think of what else to bring the listeners up to speed on. I'll be back on Future Imperfect in about a week or two. I just have to catch up on Star Trek Discovery Season 2. I also have to finally watch The Orville. Basically, my friend Alex, the producer, is basically browbeating me. He's like, watch the fucking Orville! There's our PG-13 for this episode.
Yeah, The Orville is basically TNG with Seth MacFarlane comedy.
Which, you know what, I'm totally okay with. And I read a lot of the after discussion on Twitter, because I follow nerds, and they're like, oh my god, this was the best episode ever, it's like TNG in the writing, and I really got attached. So I'm like, you know what, maybe I just need to sit down and marathon it, but that's not what I have time to do. I've been playing a lot of video games. I was actually telling Steve this off air before we were coming on, so I'll give you, the Altered Geeks, a preview of what's coming out on Twig this Sunday/Monday. I'm currently reviewing Crackdown 3 on the Xbox One. Oh boy, am I having a grand old time! Ha ha ha! I'm playing this game, and I haven't been a big fan of the Crackdown games for, like, ever. Basically, the only reason to play the original Crackdown was you got, like, a beta for Halo 3. Anyway, I'm playing this, and I get Terry Crews, who's an awesome guy, by the way. He's a big, funny dude. And the game opens up with him saying, quack, quack, mother effer. And I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty funny. And then the game starts, and it's just running around and shooting things, and that should be fun, but it's just not. It's like, it's not as clever as Saints Row, and not as serious as Grand Theft Auto. It's basically if Grand Theft Auto and Saints Row had a baby and they gave it steroids. This is what this game is, and it's collecting orbs and going from one checkpoint to another and basically running all over the minimap doing things. Sure, there's a story. There's a place called New Providence. You don't care. You just have to kill bad guys and free the city. It's standard fare. You're this super agent. And then there's this really obnoxious announcer guy. He's like, well, agents, you could kick his face in, or you can use this cryogenic shotgun. Yeah. And it's just so dumb. And I guess maybe that's what I'm supposed to enjoy, the fact that it's big, dumb humor. But if this is how Xbox is going to lead its year of exclusives, oh boy, you'd have a better time going back to playing Sea of Thieves, which has vastly improved over the last year. just, wow, not having fun with it. But I haven't tried the multiplayer. Maybe I'll try it. We'll see what happens. But there you go. There is Mike inside of a nutshell.
Nice. Yeah, I've been, as I was mentioning off air, playing Arkham Knight, and I discovered that once you beat it, they unlock certain skins to the Batmobile and the Bat himself. And there's like five or six that it unlocks by default. Most of them are Arkham based, or like the Noel suit, or the Dark Knight Returns. And then I got the 89, but it also came with the new 52 and the Batman Inc. And I like the new 52 one a lot, so I ended up using that for the suit, for the game plus mode. Basically, you've beat it once, and then you get to play the whole game all over again with what you've already collected so far, and so you just kind of build on your game. And the only unfortunate part is the Batmobiles that you get, unless it's the one specifically from Arkham Knight. You cannot use those skins in the game unless they're in the the special side missions that have nothing to do with the main story. Like, they're not even built into the main story. It's the you know, little missions that are the augmented reality type stuff. Like, it doesn't let you do within the game, which was unfortunate, because I was like, man, I could be cruising around in the 89 in the middle of the game, because it you know, it has cannons and stuff. I mean, granted, it doesn't have like
the ability to turn in like a dime or whatever. Yeah,
but I mean, and it wouldn't even let you use the one from Batman v Superman, and I was kind of bummed on that. But
yeah, that kind of surprises me, actually.
So anyways, like, I did that, and then I don't know if you'd seen, I dropped the new version of GeekCastRadio.com at the beginning of the year.
Yep, I did. Good work.
Thank you. There's still more to go into it, but there's a lot of technical work. And then, of course, just like the last time I was working on the site, I got laid off. So it's put a damper
on. Stop redesigning your site. It's clearly cursed.
It's everything surrounding this one. I started developing this one, and then 2 months later got laid off, and then I finished this one for the most part, and then almost a month later I get laid off. So it's kind of a, you know, kind of a lose-lose there. But I've got some decent freelance work out of it, though, like, since getting laid off, but it's not sustainable. So I mean, there's been a ton of stuff going on online between awesome toy stuff, a lot of news on films, a lot of stuff that's overload. Of course, clickbait websites, which it's getting harder and harder to take them seriously when you see crap articles constantly, like the every 5 seconds saying that, you know, so-and-so replaces Ben Affleck as Batman, and it's blah, blah, blah. And then you've got like all these stupid articles that are written. Try and guess which website I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, I totally hear you. You know what? It boggles the mind, because half these people, some of them have to be educated in how to write as a true journalist and everything, but they're reporting on unsubstantiated rumors or things that they may have heard on a website board or something, or an uncredited source. But unless that source is, okay, you can have a source that's uncredited, but as long as you as the reporter can trust it, like, there's that thin line. And if you're trying to protect a source, like if you say a trusted anonymous source, once again, that thin line, it's friggin' irritating. And the amount of times I've seen so-and-so, well, we'll be Batman. This guy, we'll be Batman. And then Robert Pattinson's in talks to be the Dark Knight. And man, I'm like, okay, sure, because, you know what, why not? Party on. It frustrates me. And then, hell, even tonight, as all of you GeekCast listeners and Twig listeners know, Mike Dodd's Facebook is the dumpster fire of social media. Boy, oh boy, you want to bring out the weirdos? Start talking about Ghostbusters on my page. Ha, 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 ha. Evidently, it's You know what? I'm not going to get into it because it'll only end up me bashing certain people for like 10 minutes. But point of the matter is, clickbaity needs to stop. It needs to be actual reporting, credible reporting, not just what'll get clicks and eyes on it. It should be a good news story. Because if I went to my newsroom with half these stories, they'd look at me like I got two heads on my shoulders and be like, no, Mike, have you vetted the source? Well, it was on the internet. No! Unless you can back it up with two or three other sources, then go for it.
Well, it's like I write freelance for a magazine and for which is local to me, and then freelance for a technology website and based out of another state. And they send me basically the headline that they're wanting to cover. And then they send me, you know, maybe like a sample article of just one viewpoint or one article of the news of this particular information, and then say, you know, go find other sources to get more information and kind of build out basically a simple, digestible, easy to read version of my own. And it's not that difficult to do, to be honest. And you don't have to be douchey about it either. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's something that really irks me. Like, for instance, this particular website came out with a article called Avenger star Chris Hemsworth to play WWE legend Hulk Hogan in biopic, which tells you exactly what the article is. Instead of, you know, Ben Barnes shares image of him replacing Ben Affleck as Batman, which leads you to think that he is going to be Batman. And then they come out with another article, you know, an hour later that says John Krasinski replaces Ben Affleck as Batman, and it's incredible. You know, those are totally misleading, like clickbaity garbage articles.
Not worth the website code used to print it.
Which is probably why I don't make millions of dollars on Geekcast Radio, is I refuse to do that.
Yeah, and I refuse to report on stuff like that. Like, with me, I use a few trusted sources, and people would give me shit for it, but I like IO9, I like Kotaku, some of the former Gawker people I like, Gawker notwithstanding. And I'll try a few places like Superhero Hype. I'll trust like BBC News, Sky News, Al Jazeera, the CBC, CTV Global, Entertainment Weekly, Hollywood Reporter, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, legit sources.
Yeah, like places that are willing to credit their sources, or if there's a problem with the article, they'll print a retraction. Stuff like that. A website or a news outlet has to be able to rely to be credible for you to report on it, or to at least have the story spread. And this is how misinformation gets spread, and rumors, and just terrible things, which can lead to terrible results in other things, not just entertainment. Because, hell, one of the things I always used to say, and you can say it mostly now, you Snopes it before you post it. Most of the time that works. Clickbait, go to hell. It makes me so angry. I thought about something else I want to talk about, but I'm just thinking, I don't want to kick that particular hornet's nest. So keeping with our theme this week, as you guys may have noticed, this weekend was the annual Toy Fair in New York City. A lot of really cool announcements came out of it. Most particular for me, which is kind of cool because there's going to be a comic book later on this summer with IDW. That's the Ghostbusters Transformers crossover with a robot, I think in the Voyager class, called Ectotron. You can pre-order now at GameStop. And this was so awesome. I was watching the Goldbergs this week. And the writer, creator of the show, Adam Goldberg, managed to get Ectotron on the show. Now, obviously, Ectotron didn't exist in the 1980s, but for the sake of one shot in the show, he's like, hey, look, Johnny Atkins, check out this Transformer that I have that it just so happens to be Ecto-1. And I immediately messaged Adam. He hasn't responded to my tweet or to my direct message as of this recording. I was like, dude, did you get the prototype? Because if you do, I hate you. And I just thought it was so cool. Though also, Hasbro finally showed off the Lightning Collection, other than just the White Ranger. They showed off Lord Zedd, which is one per case. So if you're thinking about pre-ordering any of the Lightning Wave, pre-order him because he'll be the scalper figure. Guaranteed. They also have Red Dino Charge and Shadow Ranger from SPD, which is Commander Kruger. So those four figures, which was pretty kick-ass. They also showed off a whole crap ton of Beast Morpher stuff, which looks really kick-ass, and that premieres like next week, I think. Next Saturday, I want to say.
Now, didn't Saban produce their own toys previously?
I think it was mostly Bandai.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been producing their own stuff, but they gave the license to Hasbro. And it looks like the Lightning Collection in particular is the stuff that I'm into, because it's this kind of like the Bandai Legacy Collection over here.
Well, it's also kind of like the Masterpiece Edition.
Yeah, basically.
Or the Black Edition of Star Wars.
Yes. It's like collector scale Marvel Legends style. You get removable heads, you get different arms, different accessories, hands accessories. So it does look pretty cool. I mean, I've got Commander Kruger pre-ordered right now. So SPD Shadow Ranger, got Lord Zedd, and the GameStop exclusive Goldar, which looks gorgeous.
Yeah, I love the new Goldar. I love the new Zedd and the White Ranger. Those were kind of like my staples of the original Ranger show back in the day there.
I'm very curious to see if they'll do a Lightning Collection Comic-Con exclusive this year. My guess is probably, which means getting this thing on the secondary market will suck. Because I'm lucky I got a Lord Draken this year. Because normally the figure goes from anywhere from like $120 to $300. I got mine for $50. So I basically had to commit sin to get this thing, and it was worth it. That's all I'm going to say. some of the Transformer stuff looks really cool. Omega Supreme in the Titans class looks amazing, and I want it, and I can't have it, and it makes me sad. What were some of the... Oh, they also got comic or television accurate Skyfire, which looks really, really friggin' cool. Who else am I leaving out here, Steve?
Well, they've got Springer. They've got a couple different other figures in that area. Whether it be a Prime, they've got like basically a Cybertron-ish Prime. Blitzwing. They've got Blitzwing. A couple of the Seekers, but the ones that were on Cybertron that turned into the weird triangle ones. Yeah, they've got those and a multitude of other figures. But the attention to detail on these things are sick. I mean, they're under the Siege, the War for Cybertron trilogy line, which is their next series that's going to be kind of coming up in Netflix. And I heard, and I don't know if this is true, that they're going to have a new video game.
I haven't heard anything. I'd like to know who's developing. If I would have to wager someone who would be developing, I'd like them to go back to Platinum Games, who did Transformers Devastation.
Yeah, there's rumor that there's going to be like a first-person shooter type game. It doesn't really say totally what it's going to be about. But I again, this was just something that I just kind of found, is that there's kind of a rumor that there's a new Transformers Online type This is certain Affinity Studios working on new third-person shooter.
Yeah, I guess if it was like the War and Fall of Cybertron games, that wouldn't be terrible. I think those were both done by High Moon Studios.
High Moon Studios had the best crap I've ever played.
I liked Devastation a bit more, which was Platinum Games.
I did like that, but I liked the aesthetic and that you could play as the G1 characters. But as far as like overall like storyline and everything that was going on and connecting through the War for Cybertron games and Fall of Cybertron, those were by far some of the best games I'd played Transformers-wise since Armada.
Yeah, because the history of Transformers video games is both short and sad. There have only been a handful of really, really good ones. So
apparently, and this is from T-Formers, they said, and normally I would cover this on ATTF, but it's part of Toy Fair. It says that a new game is currently under development, most likely for consoles and or Steam, developed by Certain Affinity, a company with few full games under their belt, but solid shooters that date back as far as Halo 2. The game is expected to once again be a third person series as the High Moon Studio games were. It says with High Moon themselves currently indisposed as permanent backup for Bungie on Destiny, sadly we won't expect to see them return to the franchise is what it says. This is little is known about the game other than its tentative title of Transformers Online, its developer and its genre. But there's also disclosure of acquisition from a company with a 20% stake in Certain Affinity that mentions their specific license to Transformers covers the G1 period of 1984 to 1995 and the modern generation setting. If we were betting, we would expect this game to tie into the War for Cybertron trilogy. And if so, we hope they will title the game very carefully to avoid confusion. But it doesn't say anything else about it. But if it's a Transformers Online game, very similar to, like, say, like your kind of Battlefields in a sense, except third person, and it, you know, more or less in the vein of like Star Trek Online or like DC Universe Online, but it, not crap.
I hope to Christ it's not an MMO. Oh my God.
I hope it's not an MMO. I really do, because otherwise it's going to suck.
See, if they now, did it if, like if, Destiny, maybe? If maybe they gave it you, could be okay.
If they gave you the ability to create your own Transformer.
And but yeah, there's a lot of ifs, ands, yeah, or buts with this.
Yes, there's a lot going on here that's not fully in disclosure here, but I would be super geeked to have a Transformers game to play. I should have actually get Devastation on Steam since I use that now.
It's well worth it. It's a fantastic game. Another thing that I saw at a Toy Fair that I thought was really cool is they showed off a lot more of the Ghostbusters line, which will be coming out around May. Like a lot of the Play School stuff looks, or sorry, not Play School, Play Mobile. They have the Ecto 2A. Looks awesome. It's the Ghostbusters 2 car. And it's got more sounds. There's like an LED light board. I think that even works. Which Mattel sent me the Ecto 1 last year. I'm actually going to bug them again for this thing this year. Say, hey, kind of want it. Hook me up. They also have where you can buy the Ghostbusters in like these window packagings, which you can do that too. I think there's going to be a new play set as well. That looks pretty kick-ass. Diamond Select showed off more of their figures. Where there's like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There's a Slimer. There's the four original Ghostbusters and their different real Ghostbusters cartoon likenesses, which look pretty cool. Because I know you can get Winston and I think Egon right now, but Ray and Peter are coming out. I want to get these, but where the hell am I going to put them? Like, I've got just enough room for Power Rangers right now, and even that I'm starting to run out of space.
They have some DC collectibles with like a new Bat Cycle with Batman on it, kind of like the ones that were out in the 90s. Which is pretty awesome. They got a new Scarecrow. They got a new Two-Face. They got a Grey Ghost. They've got the Azrael Batman armor suit from Nightfall. They've got a Jason Todd. And mind you, these are themed in the DCAU aesthetic. So they go to Jason Todd with the red hood helmet, and then they've got Deathstroke, and they've got that DCAU aesthetic to them, among other things that are in there. And then they've got various statues and other things and the various lines of the designer series of all the characters, which is kind of cool.
Another thing that I saw was cool from another exhibitor. I didn't get a really good look at it, but I think it was NECA showed off their Godzilla for the big Godzilla movie. I think it comes out this year, I want to say. The only monster that I didn't decide to sculpt was King Ghidorah, which I'm like, oh my god, of all the monsters you should have done, it should have been him, even if it was a Comic-Con exclusive. But those figures look really, really, really cool, and NECA toys are always really, really high, awesome sculpt. They're fantastic. The prices are usually pretty acceptable. I myself am looking for a NECA T-800. Actually, I was at a local convention. I know, I went outside last week, and I saw one for $30, and I almost pulled the trigger on it. Instead, I bought my wife a cat I call Sir Squishington. This is a giant smiling cat with a bell on it. But I almost bought this NECA toy. But anyway, back to Toy Fair. I'm trying to think of what else from Toy Fair really stood out to me. There was a bunch of Funko crap, but Funko stuff is Funko. What do you expect? I actually got a Funko a little while ago. It's the only one I've gotten. I'm starting to slow down on them now. I'm only collecting Power Ranger ones or weird ones. Like ones that are completely out of left field or are giant. I got the Lord Draken a couple of weeks ago. And I think from Toy Fair, they have this really awesome three-pack where it's the three hyenas from The Lion King, which looks really kind of cool. But that's pretty much about... That's all the Toy Fair news that stuck out to me. Like, I was mostly Power Rangers this year, NECA, and I think, I want to say, didn't McFarlane get the DC license this year? I want to say I saw that somewhere, so do not quote that as gospel. But I remember seeing that in more than one place. So I don't know. I think even McFarlane himself was shocked on Twitter. I remember seeing that on Twitter. And he's like, wait, what? So I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But Toy Fair is something I didn't pay a lot of attention to this year outside of the Power Ranger stuff. Because I really wanted to know, okay, where's my little bit of expendable income going this year? What's going to have to be sold to have X this year? So far this year, it looks like I'm getting two waves of the Lightning Collection. The second wave has the Red Beast Morpher guy in it, the Red Ranger and Goldar, and we don't know anything beyond that. I suppose we'll find out at like Comic-Con this year. I suspect this line's going to sell well. Hasbro is probably one of the best people to take care of a Power Rangers line. They're even talking about a new movie. In fact, actually, there's some news that came out of Toy Fair. Hasbro officially confirmed that Bumblebee was a reboot of the Transformers movies, and thank God for that. Because after the last night, oh boy, you ain't coming back from that.
Well, and honestly, I think that the Bumblebee movie, although I haven't seen it just based on what I saw of the trailer,
and
what I've heard of the film, they... basically gave us what we wanted from the start.
Yep. My God, it is easily in my top 15 favorite movies of all time now. I cannot wait for this to come out on Blu-ray. My God, I was so happy watching this.
And the other thing too is it's funny just because they actually tried in the movie and kind of gave a more balanced look to the machine and the G1 look.
The guy who directed it is the guy who directed Kubo and the Two Strings, I want to say. So he knows how a digital character moves. He knows how to give a digital character real life. And basically helping them design the G1 look for the Transformers to have them look like we want them to look. And hell, the first 5 minutes of that happened on Cybertron. And I was like, oh my God, I recognize you! And I was like so happy just seeing all these characters come to life. And then a little bit later in the film, sadly, one of my favorite characters dies, but I was like, holy shit, man. It worked. It really worked.
And that's why they're going to make more.
Oh, yeah, goddamn right. Especially the ending of that movie. Ah, my God. Sorry.
But the other thing, too, is kind of jumping back to Toy Fair to kind of round it out with a couple of the last Transformers things. They unveiled a bunch of photos of Masterpiece figures, including Masterpiece 43 Beast Wars Megatron, which, dude, I'd give my left nut to get that figure. I can't afford it.
I'm surprised it's taken this long for it to come out.
Also, it's going to be like $350, which is like,
no,
which is outrageous.
It or better somewhere. Suck your left nut for that.
Yeah. But anyways, I really want that stupid toy, but there's no way in a snowball's chance in hell I'd pay $300 for a toy.
My upper limit's 200, and even then, it better do something for $200.
Yeah. Primal was 130. Granted, actually, he's shorter. But still, like, I don't know. I really want that Megatron, so I don't know. I'm going to have to do some thinking. But but anyways, yeah, then they showed off, like, Masterpiece Wheeljack, Prowl, Bumblebee. Ooh. And then they've got the Return of Optimus Prime version of Optimus Prime, where he's all, like, covered in the white powder to prevent him from getting the hate plague.
Oh, that's cool.
They've got him in that aesthetic. And he's you know, him and his trailer, like, completely coated in the precious metal that prevents him from getting infected. And it looks awesome. Like, I mean, even though there's, like, no paint on it, it looks pretty cool on that. If nothing else, like, if you didn't like it and you wanted to paint it your own colors, you'd have a blank template there to play with. But, yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I've got to look up a picture of this and what's it. It's called Masterpiece Return of Optimus Prime. I'm almost there. I got to see this. Oh my God.
It's okay. Pretty wicked. Cybertron.com posted it.
I want that Bumblebee. My God, I want that Bumblebee. Beast Wars. Okay, that looks pretty sick. That's the Beast Wars Megatron. Wheeljack looks good. I want that Prowl. Like, I want it to have my babies. Oh my God, that Bumblebee is so beautiful. Ah, my God. You know, man, if I could get a Prime like that where it's got no paintwork on it, if you gave that to a talented artist, you could recreate battle damage. Like, you could have Transformers the Movie Prime and just create little bad battle damage in his grill with, like, paint and oh my God, that's such a gorgeous looking figure. My God, toys, jealous, need money, need space.
They're so much more beautiful than they used to be when we were kids.
Oh my God, the engineering that goes into these things blows me away. Hell, and to go back to the Ghostbusters thing for just a second, there was the Transformers Ghostbusters figure. They even gave it retro packaging, so it looks like it came out of the 1980s. It looks so good. My God. The people who at least work on the toys are clearly dorks like us. I don't know whether it's people like us in the boardrooms yet, but we're getting there. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. Toy Fair, good job.
Yes, Toy Fair. So, yeah, that's a big chunk of things going on there. And then, of course, we've got... I don't know. I haven't talked to you in a while, but have you ever tried any of the smart devices?
Well, I've got a Google Home, if that's what
you've got. I've got one too. Have you ever? What is the most absurd questions you've asked that thing?
I've asked it about anal sex before, and it gave me a detailed listing about it. I thought that was pretty funny. But I've also asked it how long it takes to decompose a body in lime. And how do I murder someone? Oh, I also give all my contacts in it really in appropriate nicknames. So it's like calling Dorkface. Believe me, it's a lot worse than that. Or I'm like calling someone bodily fluid, and it'll do that. And people hate it when they know that I'm calling them. Like, Mike, you're calling me on your Google Home, aren't you? You bet I am.
Yeah, I've never done any of that. Like, the most absurd thing I've done is like ask it the weather, or I impersonated my wife's voice at one point, and my Google Home thought I was her.
Oh my god, if you can, I've seen this meme. I don't know if you can do it, but I think you can. If you say, hey Alexa, set an alarm to 3 a.m. and play horror movie sounds, I think you can do that. I want to know. I know you can set up routines, so I'm tempted to set up red alert. If I can get a couple of smart plugs for my house and those color-changing lights, I'm going to say, hey Google, stop listening. Sorry, because it's like right beside me. And I'd be like, hey blank, red alert. It'll turn my room red and it'll start playing the alarm clacks on from Star Trek. I know I can do this. I just have to figure out how to do it. But I will, because I'm a dork.
The unfortunate part is Google doesn't let you change the name of it to computer, whereas Alexa does.
Yeah.
You can only change it to like, hey, or, you know, my or something for Google, and you can, and that's the only way you can do stuff with it.
However, though, Google does let you call it separate names. For example, my Google will call me My Emperor because I'm that vain. So it's like, good morning, My Emperor. The weather is, and it'll tell me all this stupid crap. It's ridiculous.
Now, honestly, if you ask it to play a podcast by Steve Megatron, it will start All Things Transformers.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I haven't used it for podcasts. I mostly use it for radio and for like Spotify. That's mostly my range with it. Although I have used it for an audio novel once, but I have to play it off my phone. It's just such a pain in the butt. Although it will read you a bedtime story if it's in the public domain.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool.
We've done all kinds of goofy stuff like that. My kids and I will ask it like stupid questions. My son figured out how to change the voice of the Google Home, and I'm like, stop doing that. But yeah, it's insane. So what are some game stuff that you've been getting into lately?
Game stuff. One of the best games I've played this year, and arguably one of the best I've played in a really long time. One of the games I actually went out and spent my own money on because I didn't get a review copy for it, was the remake of Resident Evil 2. This is probably one of the best horror games I've played in years. It's probably one of the best remakes I've ever played. Definitely one of the best reimaginings of a franchise. It still happens in 1998, yet it still does all sorts of crazy and wacky things with it. Like, it updates the puzzle. Basically, if you played Resident Evil 2 on the PlayStation 1, you'll know the basic layout of the police station, but it's not exactly as you remember. Like, there'll be new rooms, new paths, new puzzles, stuff like that. The voice and the characters are wonderfully animated. Like, the capture work they did for Claire and Leon is fantastic. I have this huge backlog of games that I want to play, but I haven't played yet. I got Red Dead Redemption 2. I got the collector's edition when it came out in October. Still haven't touched it, which is depressing and sad. I also played Smash Brothers a lot during the break. It took me about a week to unlock every character in that. I haven't downloaded Piranha Plant yet. I'm probably going to do that probably next week. Oh, speaking of gaming, got this really cool thing. Remember, kids, piracy is a bad thing. A friend of mine gave me a modded Xbox, and I have it set up to do arcade emulation. Because I used to own an arcade machine, and as far as I'm concerned, I've owned it once, it's mine. Plus, I'm not going out and buying out a CPS2 board just to play Marvel vs. Capcom 1. Point of the matter is, so I got this wonderful thing, it's got this awesome front end, and he has it set up for me so it can do other systems, which I do advocate, own your games legally if you can. because piracy is bad. But he has... I've never been able to play Virtual Boy before, like, last week, which I thought was so cool. And, man, it certainly is red, that's for sure. And other sorts of crazy things. I've never had a chance to experiment with technology like this before because Sony sent me one of their mini consoles at Christmas time. I got a PlayStation Classic, which you can now get at Walmart for $40. Totally worth it now, as opposed to the $120 they wanted when the thing first came out. Yeah, that was a mistake. And it's kind of cool just to see how much gaming has evolved in the emulation space, because we have the NES Classic, the Super Nintendo Classic. There's rumors floating around about the N64 Classic. Will it actually happen? Probably not, because N64 was a buggered... It's a bugger to emulate now, just because it's annoying.
I used to have a... actually, I think I still do on an external hard drive. I had the NES, the SNES, the Game Boy Color or Advance or whatever, and N64 emulators, as well as, I think, a PlayStation emulator, like way back when all the emulator sites were still around.
I remember playing on an old compact Presario way back in the day. I had a PlayStation emulator called Bleem, and I played Resident Evil 3 Nemesis with a keyboard and mouse. And I was good at it. I could actually S-rank that game with a keyboard and mouse. I was friggin' hardcore. Because I wanted to play that game so bad, I didn't have a place. I wouldn't get a PlayStation for another 2 years. Just because I never thought to ask for one for Christmas. I'm like, I want more computer parts. Oh boy, little did I know you couldn't upgrade a compact Presario very much.
No, you can't.
Nope, and then I fried it on the floor of one of my apartments. As I pushed that thing as far as it would go, I managed to fool with the settings to get my onboard video to do certain things. And it was ridiculous. My God, I miss gaming. I miss when gaming wasn't necessarily how much money can you throw at the hobby. That's why I hate PC gaming. And I only play very few PC games a year. But you were asking about what I've been playing. I also played Call of Cthulhu on the PC, because I got a review copy for that. That game's actually not bad. It's worth about $40. It's about an 8 to 10 hour adventure, and it's probably the best H.P. Lovecraft game that's ever been made so far, I would argue. I played Battletech a lot, which is a fantastic update to the original. Basically, think of it as like XCOM, except with mechs. So it's very cool. Very, very cool. What else did I play? I tried playing Fallout 76, and that game is, oh boy, wow. In fact, GameStop in Germany was giving away copies of Fallout 76 with used controllers at one point. If you bought an Xbox One X bundle, let's say you bought the copy of the system that came with Fallout 76, you would get another copy of Fallout 76 with it free of charge. So you got two copies of the same game just because of, like, goddamn, get it out of here. That was ridiculous. I'm trying to think of what else I really played during my little bit of a break there. One thing I can tell you I'm looking forward to. There's a new Power Rangers game. Comes out in April. Don't know much about it. Not much has been released about it, which is a little scary. It's called Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, which is supposed to be a Marvel vs. Capcom like fighting game, and they've only shown off the Green Ranger, the Red Ranger, and the Yellow Mega Force Ranger. They haven't shown off anything else, but there's supposed to be a full arcade mode, a full story mode, and it's supposed to get a pre-order for about $40, so I'm gonna ask for a review copy of this. I'm actually gonna probably email the developer probably tomorrow and say, hey, I review games. I like Power Rangers. Don't screw with me. See what happens there. I discovered my Nintendo Switch is a lot more fun than I gave it original kind of credit for. Over the holidays, I played a lot of really fun games on it. One of the games I really want to recommend It comes from Mega Cat Studios. I think that's the name of the company. They're out of Pittsburgh. And they have a game called Coffee Crisis. And it's basically like TMNT, Double Dragon, and Streets of Rage had a baby. And you beat up aliens called the Smurgillions or something. And they've stolen Earth's coffee, Wi-Fi, and metal. And they have YouTubers like Metal Jesus Rocks and Alpha Omega Sin in it as bosses. And it's really strange, yet really, really, really fun. It's hard. But yeah.
That sounds so weird.
Yeah, it's fun, though. It's like Double Dragon. I'm like, this is friggin'... And the soundtrack is friggin' awesome, too.
I think they're coming out with a new Streets of Rage.
I want to say they are, too, actually.
Streets of Rage 4.
I think it was a Kickstarter, wasn't it?
I actually have it pulled up now, and Sega is publishing it, it looks like. Ooh. And I want to say I saw this a while ago, but it's going to have Blaze and Axel in it again.
Okay.
Blaze
was the kid with the roller skates, right?
Who? No, Axel is the guy that looks like almost like not Ryu, but
like Cody from Final Fight or something.
Something like that. The blonde haired dude with the blue bandana thing. Yeah, and then Blaze is the brunette, busty brunette with the biker jacket. And then
Axel was the kid on the rollerblader. There was some kid on rollerblades.
It wasn't. No, Axel was the guy. Axel and Blaze were the ones from the very first game on through. Like, they've been continuously through the entire series. So basically, it's an all-new continuation of Sega's iconic brawler. It's supposed to build on the trilogy. It's brought back by Lizard Cube, Guard, Crush Games, and Dot Emu, or something like that. It doesn't really say when it's out or if it's out. So I'm hoping this is still a thing.
Probably still a thing, because I remember hearing about it, but I haven't kept my ear to the ground for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of geeked for that, ultimately. But that's just because I enjoyed the previous games.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was something that you posted that you wanted to talk about tonight, and I was kind of racking my brain for it, and I realized I have a lot more to say on this than I originally thought I did. And you asked me, Mike, tonight I want to talk about early tech adventures. And I kind of got to thinking about that, and I'm thinking, well, what the hell does it mean by that? And then I got to thinking, if it wasn't for technology, I would not be this much of a geek to this very day. And I can trace back to the moment when I got fascinated with stuff. Do you remember way back in the day that Radio Shack used to have this robotic arm with these orange fingers, and you could move it around and like it could pick up stuff? Do you know the robotic arm that I'm talking about?
It's not the one that you stick your hand in and it's a plastic one, is it?
No. It was a thing you would control it with these little joysticks, and it would have full articulation, and it could pick up stuff, and it could move stuff around with a limited field of movement, but it was articulated, you could move stuff, it had like little joysticks and stuff, and I can't remember what it was called, but I know it was made by Radio Shack in the 1980s. And the reason I remember, though, you would recognize it to see a picture of it. If you type in Radio Shack Robot Army in the Google, it'll probably show up. If you want to post that in the chat with your images, I'll tell you if that's the one it is. But so anyway, the reason I bring this up,
it looks familiar.
My parents got me this toy, and I remember playing with it. Yes, that's exactly the one that I had. So I remember playing with it. And
Armatron.
I took it apart, and I remember my dad screaming at me. He's like, Michael, you broke your toy. Now it doesn't work. And I took that as a challenge. I'm like, all right, give me a set of micro screwdrivers. Because he always kept a set of these little screwdrivers in his drawer beside our kitchen table. So I'm thinking, all right, well, this screw goes here, this screw goes there, this must power this, and I was able to trace back where all the power components went, all the gears and everything, and I made sense of it, and eventually I got it working. And my parents were like, okay, that's pretty impressive. What else can you do? And they tried to get me interested in fixing, like, engines and stuff like that. Like, my Uncle Gord was an underwater mechanic for, like, ships and stuff like that. And he always would be building motors in our garage. And that didn't take with me, but electronics did. So I remember we took a thing in shop class in grade 8, and we had to build simple circuits. And this is when Mortal Kombat came out. So I thought I was cool. So I took the Mortal Kombat dragon, and I lit it with, and I got a piece of acrylic, and a piece of, and I took the Mortal Kombat dragon ad out of a comic book, and I laminated it to this piece of acrylic, and I lit the entire thing with LEDs, and I had a circuit that would change color from red to green, and it would flash, and I thought, oh man, that's so cool, and stuff like that. And then another geeky thing, and this kind of, I guess I never realized how much radio has always played a very prominent point in my life. So I met a radio engineer years ago, like 20, 30 years ago now. I used to listen to this radio station called AM560 CFOS in Owen Sound. And they'd always have a call-in program. And I was probably about 10 to 13, somewhere in that age range. I'd call this radio station, and I would talk to the DJs on a Saturday night. And they're like, oh, it's this kid, and he's interested. So I used to talk to this guy named Gary Viralli and another woman. I can't remember. I want to say her name was Veronica or something. And they got to know my name, and eventually they showed me around the radio station. They invited me and my mom to come take a look at the radio station. And one of the coolest things this guy ever did for me, this is just a side tangent story, is he got me in the fantasy. He gave me a copy of a book, and I still have it to this very day, called Dragonflight by Anne McCaffrey. And it's basically a picture of Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's Game of Thrones, but a lot more dragons in it. And it's really awesome, and there's spaceships. Anyway, back to the geek thing. So anyway, he's showing me around the engineering thing of this radio station, and I'm looking at the big transmitters and how they work and everything. And he's telling me how AM and FM work. And FM always sounds clearer because it's higher powered, but it's shorter range. So you won't get, unless there's like a lot of power behind that transmitter, you're not getting it very far away. But an AM signal can travel further because it travels on a different radio wavelength, and water is a natural amplifier for it. So it all comes together here. So I got a radio for Christmas one year, and I remember reading somewhere that if you wrap a wire clothes hanger around the antenna of your radio, it'll act as an amplifier. So one night, I remember this night remarkably clearly. It's a crystal clear night in this place I used to live called Shallow Lake. Little town, about 500 people, farm country, whatever. You could hear a coyote fart, that's how quiet it was. So one night, moonlit night, I'm playing with the radio, and I'm deciding to see what radio stations I can pick up. And I'm inching the knob millimeter by millimeter. And I hear WNBC in New York City. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I am like 700 miles away. How is this possible? Lake Ontario, that's how. And I'm playing with it a little bit more. Something, something, Chicago. Something, something, Pittsburgh. Something, something, Philadelphia. And I can hear all these radio stations. They're super faint, but I can hear them. And I can start to pick up Detroit more and more clearly. And this is before a lot of rock stations had switched over to FM because the sound quality was just better. But I was listening to rock music in probably about this must have been around 1991, 92, give or take, and it was just an incredible experience manipulating this technology to listen to things, because I would say I grew up in a fairly liberal yet conservative household, if that makes any sense. I was able to do whatever I wanted, and I wasn't told to lean in any which way, but my parents didn't like rock and roll music for whatever reason. They would let me listen to Mel Tillis and Conway Twitty, but Lord forbid if I want to listen to AC/DC or Metallica. So it was my only way to get music and more news than what I was currently being exposed to. So I would listen to AM 640 CFMJ out of Toronto, which for a long time was an AM rock station, and then it became a talk format in the mid-90s. And then another station in Owen Sound area was Mix 106. I forget what their call letters are. But for a long time, they didn't play nothing. They played anything but soccer mom music. I remember listening to Nirvana and Pearl Jam on this little tiny rock station out of a small town of like 20,000 people. And believe me, at that time, that was unheard of in that particular market. But and then another early tech adventure is I got my first computer in 1996 because X-Files. I remember this for two reasons. Number one is there was a demo disc of Final Fantasy VII that came with my computer and let you play to just before the first Shinra base or something. Just before you got Vincent Valentine or something. I remember you got to play with Barrett, Vincent, and Cloud. And you were fighting on a bridge, if I remember right. But either way. And the X-Files was super popular, and the X-Files game had just come out. So I convinced my parents to spend $2,000 on a computer. And it was a compact Presario with a 1 gigabyte hard drive, 16 megs of RAM, and hell if I can remember anything else about it. But it was a beast of a computer. And then I learned humility, my friend. There was a little virus that came out in my grade 10 year. And this is a big deal because this is at a time when MP3s were just the new standard. The first MP3 I downloaded was Daft Punk's Around the World and Beastie Boys Intergalactic. And this is just when MIDIs were still super popular. If you wanted a popular song, you could find a MIDI version of it, no problem. We had to get an MP3, you had to hunt. And this is back on modem days. There was none of that cable internet bullshit. This is 28.8. No, I was on 19.2 kps per second. That sucked. It gets worse. So, I'm writing my grade 10 history paper on Howard Philip Lovecraft. I know, everyone's favorable, horrific racist, but I digress. I'm writing my paper. I save my progress. I shut down my MP3s. I shut down, because at that time I ran a website. It was a Neon Genesis fan site on Angel Fire. Thank God it's gone. So anyway, I shut off my computer, go to bed, assuming all is right with the world. My files are there, my MP3s are there, and I'm a teenage boy, so my porn is there. And then, Steve, you know what happened? Yep, it was a virus. I downloaded something called the Chernobyl virus. And it killed my hard drive. I was inconsolably bawling. My parents are so old at this time because my grandparents were the ones raising me. And they're like in their 60s and 70s. They don't know what the hell I'm on about. They're all like, it's all gone. Like, what are you talking about? It's right here. I'm like, you don't understand. So I spent that day learning all about what drivers were, what a BIOS was, and trying to restore everything. And restoring computers back in those days was not fun. Oh, yeah. Like, I remember restoring everything from video drivers to sound drivers. And back then, you didn't have no USB plug-and-play where it recognized it. No, you had to know the manufacturer. You had to know what version you had. It was basically surgery.
It was. It was. And you had... But the weird thing was, is everything was a separate PCI slot.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know,
everything. Nothing was integrated. Like, your modem or Ethernet was not integrated. Your sound card was not integrated. It was all separate stuff. And my first computer was in, like, 95, 96. And we got a 486 DX4100. 100 megahertz, you know, 16 megs of RAM. It was before the Pentium, or the poor man's Pentium. Actually, the sad thing was is that ran faster than a Pentium 133 when those came out. And it was a 486. It was like the DX4 was supposed to be like, you know, AMD's version. But anyways, the machine had the 5 1/4, 3 1/4 floppy, the, you know, the it had a 2x CD-ROM. I had a 400 megabyte and an 800 megabyte hard drive in it, and sucker was loud. Had a 28.8 modem in it, and then eventually, like, the 56k modems came out, but we couldn't use it in that until we got our Pentium 133, and then the 300, then we got a 500, then we got the 667, then the, you know, the get into the gigahertz range of hardware. But yeah, it was painful. I actually got mad. We had Windows 3.1 and 3.11 on another machine. I wanted Windows 95 on my computer, something terrible. And, you know, being young and stupid, I threw everything in the garbage on Windows. My dad gets home and he's like, "What'd you do?" And I'm like, "I wanted to put Windows 95 on." And he's like, "Well, you got no computer for a week." So he says, "I'll mess with it when I get time." So he installed Windows 95 on it eventually. But it was a nightmare. And then learning how to use, like, DOS and learning how to use all that, all the commands. And, of course, I sat and watched my dad repair it because I wanted to know how to do it. And it turns out that he ended up being the IT guy, you know, just kind of on the side at my elementary school because they didn't have anybody. And they had all these, like, 286 computers, which are, like, old. And they had, like, this DOS-based menu system, which my brother knows how to recreate, actually, which is funny enough. And it would load off particular learning games, and they, as a token of appreciation for my dad's help, gave us one of the 286 machines. I continued to be their kind of maintenance for those because I knew how to work on them through elementary school. And then I get into middle and high school, and I'm working on the computers in the library because, and the teacher's computers for the classrooms because nobody else knew how to use them. And it was amazing because I had fun putting, and this is not nice for those involved, but I had fun putting screensavers on that were the blue screen.
Oh, I've got a story way beyond this one. Let me tell you.
So anyways, I put those on a lot of computers in the library so that I could time out specific machines on certain days. So essentially when I would go in at given point in the day, they would have a sign on the computer monitor that would say out of order. And, you know, they didn't have an in-house IT person. They didn't have an IT technology teacher until 11th and 12th grade that I was there. So, like, 03, 04. And by then they didn't even really know what I'd done to them because I was screwing around with them a lot. And, but I would also go in there and fix the machines while I was in there too. Like, the other people that were having problems, I would just go around and fix them. And then I'd get back on the machine that I personally, like, held for myself by putting the screensaver on. And then I actually did that trick again at the car dealership when I worked there just to see what would happen. And I did it to the service writer because he was a dick. And he, and I didn't think nothing of it. And then I left it on there for like, it was on there a good like 6 months. And he kept telling the service manager, hey, I need a new computer. And they're like, why? And they're like, well, it keeps crashing every day. And so I keep restarting it. And I pulled the service writer aside and I said, or not service writer, but the service manager. And I says, hey, you know what that is, right? And he says, no. And I says, I put a screensaver on there 6 months ago. I says, there's nothing wrong with the guy's computer. I said, he just doesn't realize that all he has to do is move his mouse and it'll stop. I did the other thing though, where you do the screenshot with all the icons and then you right click and hide the icons and then you hide the taskbar. And then they couldn't figure out whether they thought the computer was locked up because they couldn't get anything to toggle and the time wouldn't change and everything else and nothing would click. And that actually was a test when I worked briefly like through the training thing at HP. That was something that none of their technicians could figure out through the training thing. And I knew what it was like 2 seconds into it, 'cause I'd done it like 6 months before to a service writer. So, but yeah, it's ridiculous.
When I was in high school, I've probably told this story before on the podcast, but it bears telling again. So, when I got my first computer, the Compaq, I also got a printer and I got a scanner because school, right? So I got my yearbook. And I'd ran into this vice principal. Her name was Miss Otterson. We did not see eye to eye. In fact, dare I say, my arch nemesis for quite some of my high school career. Suspended me many, many times for absentees and quote unquote being a political agitator, end quote. So I decide one day, you know what, lady, I've had just about enough of your shit. So I go on the interwebs and start browsing for FBI wanted posters. At this time, I'm listening to a lot of Coast to Coast AM. Think of that what you will. So I'm listening to it, and I get this brilliant idea. What if I accused her of being an alien? Because it's so ridiculous and stupid. So I scanned her staff picture out of my high school yearbook. And I sized it down, and I got it to the right resolution. I got 72 DPI. It looked great. Looked brilliant. So I scale it down, put it in this FBI wanted poster, and I find the creepiest alien picture that I could find. She looks like a gray. So I find the picture, and I wrote up a list of fictional crimes. I think I said some of her crimes include, and I quote, eating babies, a high priestess of Satan, and some other stuff. And I just created the most ridiculous thing I could. And I printed off 5 of these. So I go to school the next day, and I plaster 5 of these things around the school. Our school had 2 payphones out in front of the office. So I post one right there. Whap! Right in your face. Up yours. What are you going to do to me? And I post a few more in a boy's bathroom, a girl's bathroom, a hallway right near the cafeteria, and right on the cafeteria doors. Because what are you going to do? So, an hour and a half goes by. They're starting to circulate. I'm getting tee-hee-hee-hee-hee. I'm laughing. Then she comes to the cafeteria and sees me. I stop laughing. She hauls me into the office, screams, tears a strip off me. I then find out years later, there was a copy of the staff room that sat there for almost 20 years on a billboard in their staff room. I was like, that's right, I'm a part of your history. Up yours, mofo. But the reason I got ratted out is because one of my friends, this kid named Scott, ratted me out. She's like, who's responsible for this? And this kid named Scott Wilson says, it was my dog. And she's like, oh, I know who that is. And I got run in. I got suspended for a week. My mom or my grandmother looks at me like, Mike, what did you do? I called my teacher an alien. She's like, Oh, just don't bother me, and you can do whatever you want. Cool. So I played Chrono Trigger for a week. I wasn't upset. And I think the other teachers at the school had a good laugh at it because all of them just kind of gave me a pass after that. They're like, that's Mike. He doesn't mean any harm, but just don't screw with him. Another thing I did is a friend of mine started playing with our library's computers. And we figured out how to change the .ini file. That was maybe not such a wise idea in retrospect because we crashed the computers in the entire library. We're like, crap. So my friend Jarrett did it, and I just said to him, don't worry, I'll take the fall for it, because whatever. I wanted to look cool. So I took the fall for that, and I remember one of our teachers, Mr. Gartrell, was like, Mike, can you show me how you did it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be hacker man. And I just threw commands at, a DOS prompt. I don't know what I'm doing. I then remember, this is my last high school story. I remember we figured out how to network the computers from upstairs to downstairs. So the upstairs library could talk to the computers in the home ec room. This is important because during home ec class, we had a computer that wasn't facing the rest of the classroom. The teacher's desk was facing to the south. And so was this one computer, was also facing to the south. So unless she was looking right over at the computer, she couldn't see it because there was a bunch of crap in the way. So I would spend most of my home ec classes playing StarCraft against whoever was upstairs in the library. And I got quite good at Brood War, if I do say so myself. But it was a blast. I love stupid technology like this, and I guess that's some of my early tech adventures with computers. Although one of my saddest moments, and this will be my last story, I got an HP. This is before I discovered the wonders of building your own computer or having friends build them for you. I had an HP, and it served me well. I had a webcam, I had a really cool monitor that I eventually dropped down the stairs. That was fun, because those things were huge. You've never quite cried until you've seen a 19-inch monitor drop down 20 stairs. Anyway, so I'm playing with my computer, and I'm thinking I'm all cool. I've got this thing on carpet. This doesn't occur to me to be a bad thing. So I'm playing it one day, I'm watching something on it, or doing something stupid, I don't know. I then smell ozone, and my computer turns off. And what's that? I don't know. So I have to haul my computer outside in the bloody snowstorm where I was living, and I haul it to a local computer place. They tell me my motherboard melted. I don't believe them. They show me. Some of my capacitors blew up, and I'm like, and I don't even know what's on that hard drive. I don't know what's on it all. All I knew was I can't afford a new computer. What the hell am I going to do? And then I went back home with my tail between my legs. At that point, I was living away from home. Then I moved back home. I went home a lot when I was very young because I sucked at the whole managing money thing. But anyway. That's some of my experiences with computers. It wasn't until, honestly, even now, my friend Alex, the producer, does all my computer crap. For my wedding, many, many years ago, my friend little Brandon built me a computer as a wedding present because I had a Dell that I bought when I was in grad school, and then that thing caught on fire. Oh, I forgot about this. So I found out you should probably dust or at least use those compressed air canisters on your power supply every so often, because I didn't know dust could catch on fire. And I remember I was watching TV one night and I had my computer on and just, and my back of my computer flared up. And I was like, what the hell was that? And I didn't know that could happen. So important safety tip, Egon. So yeah, I don't fool with computers now. I have Alex deal with it. May that man stay my friend loyal forever, because otherwise it's going to be, all right, Best Buy Geek Squad, what do you got? because I am useless with computers now. I am so far. My operating system was Windows 98 SE, and I loved it, and I miss it. I don't know what I'm doing now. I hate Windows 10.
It's different. But anyways, we did something that was a little kind of shystery in high school too, but there's a program. I can't find it for the life of me now, but if I could find it, I think it would be hilarious. It got flagged. There were two different versions or two different files. One of them gets flagged as a virus by today's standards, so it probably doesn't exist. There was one that was called, Cope's cup holder, and it would
and it would make the tray open, right?
It would make, yeah, and it would say Coke would like to present you with this complimentary cup holder, and then it would open up your CD-ROM drive. And that was one of them, which I would replace Microsoft Word with on the computers. And there was also the other one that I did, which my friend gave me the file. It was called One Down, Three Up. So for every window you close, three more open up. And I replaced Internet Explorer with it. And the librarians were pissed. Because they knew I did it. My friends ratted me out. They tried to use that to guilt trip me to do Quiz Bowl. And I was like, no. because they were like, you're smart. You could do it. And I'm like, I'm not quick on my feet. Like, that's different. Like, I'm not doing that. And the other funny thing about that was one of my friends that ratted me out, he figured out how to do instant messaging on Windows XP in the back end of the system. It was built into Windows, though. It was like a command prompt, like a power user type thing. And he figured out how to do it. And the assistant principal, who was Korean or Chinese or something like that, he, and it's not meant to sound stereotypical, but he knew his way around an operating system, unlike the rest of the people in the school. And we were typing all kinds of like goofy crap in there just to be funny to see what would get said. And we started talking crap about certain teachers and principals. And then, he couldn't figure out, because we were both named Steve, he couldn't figure out which one wrote what, but because the other one had priors on his record of getting in trouble with the school for stupid stuff he did, they assumed it was him that said those said words. It was me. And but I didn't know that until after. So he just took it and didn't even care. But he was also the same crazy person, though, that he designed. And this was before the 360 or any of this stuff. But when the Xbox, the first one, came out, he wanted to use it on the PC. He made his own adapter for USB.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was like this weird cobbled together, like duct tape looking thing. And it was like ridiculously stupid looking. And he cobbled this thing together and it worked. And he's like, here, look. And then he's like controlling stuff on the computer with it in the library. And we're like, dude, that's awesome. We're like, we want one. And he's like, no.
My design. Like,
yeah. And I'm like, you idiot. You could make so much money with that. And then, of course, Microsoft, the next version, USB.
You reminded me of something that I did, something that I'm not proud of, but something that I did just the same. Speaking of the cup holder program, there was a program years ago called ICQ.
It was an instant messenger. I had it.
And it was an instant messenger program. So I had this kid friend of mine named Frazier.
Does it still exist?
No, I think it shut down a couple years ago. But I'm not sure, though. So
it still exists.
Oh, wow.
New ICQ for Windows. I wonder if the number still works.
I had one of the first 200,000 numbers, so I feel pretty cool, but I can't get into it anymore. So anyway, I had this program, and what it would do is I could send instant messages, and I could take control of his computer. Like, I could open things, I could type things, I can control his Windows. But first he had to accept the program. Like, hey, dude, check out this new MP3 player program I got. And he accepted it. And so he does it, and I get his IP address. I forget how I did it, but I got it. and I take control of his computer, and I'm screwing with him so hardcore at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And once again, he's like, Mike, what do I do? Someone's at my computer. I don't know. Maybe if you gave me $20, I can help you. And I'm a scumbag. I think I told him years later, but for about 20 minutes, I was a scumbag. But it was pretty fucking funny, though. Whoops, now we're into the R rating.
Well, one of the funny things I did was I actually downloaded a keylogger at one point on my computer because I wanted to find out what the password was to the internet that my mom was using to let me get on the internet. And I never did find out because she's like, what's this icon down there? And I'm like, I don't know. Close.
Observant.
Yeah, she was like, she was on it. I was like, man, that sucked.
I'm like, you don't need to know. Just type. You know?
Yeah. I also used to figure out stupid stuff. Like, my family was like, they would use like their names backwards or things like that for the password or where they worked or things like that. And I was like smart about it. Like, I figured out how to bypass the BIOS password. I was like, oh, you just pull the CMOS battery and then you can get in. And they're like, how did you get into my computer? And I was like, I popped the battery.
And because they're like, I'm smarter than you.
Holy crap. I'll get to this in a second. But then they loaded my stepdad at one point loaded this kid desk software on our computer to keep us out of programs. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm 12. And it was mostly for my brothers, but he had like a teenage version or something on for mine. And I was like, this is such a crap version. I can't even do anything on this stupid computer. And so he's like, well, you've just got to deal with it. And then eventually I was like bored one day and I was just like, I have an hour on the computer. I'm going to find out what this password is. And so I just started typing things. And then I was like, let's type things backwards. And then so I started typing everybody's names backwards. And then I came to the conclusion it was his name backwards as the password. And I bypassed it. And I was like, and he comes to me later and he's like, how are you in Windows? And I says, I see things. And then so like it never went back on there again. He uninstalled it and we were just good to go. But yeah, it was just ridiculous. No, I just said holy crap because I downloaded the ICQ because I didn't realize it still existed. I went there and it comes up. You can download it now for iOS, Android, PC, web, Mac OS, and Linux, apparently. And I didn't know that it's still around, but it's owned by mail.ru, which just sounds so reputable now.
Yeah, doesn't that sound
but anyways, I typed in because I still know my ICQ number. I don't know if you remember how many digits yours was.
Six. I had six digits.
Six?
I know it started with 216 and I can't remember anything past that.
What's really sad is I can never forget any of my ever forget any of my website addresses or my instant messenger handles. My ICQ literally is 59033222. I just logged into my account.
Oh my god.
On the thing and I remembered the password, funny enough. So yeah, I'm in and it shows like a very old year one Geekcast Radio logo as my icon on it. So the last time I logged in was probably 2009.
You old man.
I've had the account though since like 99 because or 98 or 99 because I used it on my dad's 56k modem to communicate with a owner of a Transformers website back before there was social media and stuff because they didn't have a forum. It was Maximal Central. I remember the website, but they were covering Beast Wars season 3.
Man, I remember.
And I got an argument with the owner of the site at one point because he changed his name to like from like Optimus Primal or something to he changed his name to Enforcer. And I was like, OK, Enforcer. And then we had like this heated debate online at one point, and I was like, I'm going to get the internet police on you.
And the internet police? Such a dork.
Well, there was such a thing, and I like they it was like a part of those like web standards or something, and I was like, and I found out how to be one or something, and I was like, this is like ridiculously stupid, but I tried it anyway, and the guy's like, all right, fine, leave me alone.
Oh god,
I was like an idiot.
We'll have to revisit some of these stories at some point, because I can tell you many stories of me on ICQ and Yahoo Messenger, some of them proud, some of them not so proud. I've met girlfriends on there, I've met friends, I've dealt with stalkers, I've dealt with weirdos. It's been one of those places where just a lot of me has definitely formed on the internet. I'm definitely a child of the digital age. Just on the edge of Gen X, I consider myself a pseudo millennial, but I'm not one of the stupid millennials now, because no one can agree what the cutoff date is. So,
well,
I'm
they say
1981 baby. That's all I know.
Well, they said it starts in like 83 or 85, and it's either way, I fall into the realm. But I'm at the top end of the realm, so like I'm not like too far indebted in it. But it's still entertaining to me nonetheless to see like a lot of the stupidness that comes out.
Oh yeah. And believe me, it's only gonna get dumber.
It's like the movie Idiocracy.
Which once again features Terry Crews, who seems to be a reoccurring theme this evening.
But he's the president.
President Camacho or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So anyway, that's what we have covered this week on Altered Geek. If you want to get in touch with us, they can do so in the following ways.
Well, they can get a hold of me on the Twitters at SCP21 or at Altered Geek, and they can get a hold of the podcast through email, feedback@alteredgeek.com, and yourself, sir.
If you want to find me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, it is at birdmandot. I'm always quick to reply if I'm awake. And you just find me on those three social media websites. I always post randomness. Like I said, if you come to my Facebook, it's a dumpster fire, but it's an entertaining dumpster fire of kittens, Ghostbusters, Transformers, and Power Rangers, and occasionally some thoughts about life, the universe, and everything. And Twitter is usually just me ranting about stuff. So anyway, be sure to check that out. And Instagram is weird cat pictures and weird cool foods. So anyway, for Alter Geek, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Day. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, get haltered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
He said, get haltered.
Get haltered. Yeah, get a halter top, because why not? Oh, you can bleep that. I'm sorry, Steve.
Dodd's a giant boob.
Yep, that's right. Get a halter top. One giant tit.
We asked a Good Life member what they'd say to inspire a new member.
I joined Good Life and I feel healthy, confident, strong. It changed everything. I lost 40 pounds in 4 months. Go to Good Life. You need it more than you know it.
Good Life Fitness. Change your story.
Join Good Life Fitness now and save $129 on a no-commitment membership. Hurry, offer ends soon. See club for details or visit goodlifefitness.com.